Dit is de Growth Room, de podcastserie van Ook over organic digital marketing. Gewoon digital marketing waarbij resultaten zijn verdiend en niet gekocht. Elke maand gaat Jurjen in gesprek met een expert en bespreekt hij de laatste ontwikkelingen binnen organic marketing en alles wat daarmee te maken heeft. Voordat we beginnen, wil jij nou ook organische groei realiseren bij topspelers? Bekijk dan onze vacatures op ookisnow.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Growth Room. Last month, we had a great conversation about ROI, revenue, and more than on that with Tom Critchlow, the business value and how to persuade a CEO for $1 million budget. And today is again super interesting because today he'll be our guest again, but this time we'll talk about SEO careers and goals. Welcome, Tom Critchlow, for the second time on this podcast.
Thanks for having me back. I really enjoyed our last conversation, so I'm excited to be back.
Yeah, great. And so if you need some intro, listen to the first podcast, because Tom Critchlow is known from the SEO MBA, but more on that in the show notes and also in the first episode. But Tom is really, well, he's got a great view, I think, on how to, how do you call that? SEO capabilities, how they change, and how you can have your growth path as an SEO consultant for your future. So let's start, because you've been in the field for, how many years, Tom?
Too many, I guess.
Too many.
I guess I got started in the early 2000s, so 15, 20 years maybe.
So when Google just actually a little bit started in that time, the UK, where you were based, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so you're now in New York since like 8 years, and so you've seen a lot. And how are the SEO capabilities changed over the not the 20 years, but the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think that SEO as a discipline has certainly grown up over the last 5-10 years. When I first moved here to New York to open the office for Distilled, which is my brother's agency, it was still the case that SEO was kind of the most advanced web technical discipline. PR agencies, marketing agencies, advertising agencies, content agencies, none of them understood the web as well as SEO agencies, right? And because of that, we could get a lot of access to senior stakeholders. We could work on very big projects. I remember when we first moved to New York, we worked with companies like Gucci and Microsoft, and these big companies were very high up, senior stakeholders inside those organizations. And I could already see, even back then in 2011, that the other agencies were catching up, right? Yeah. And that it was no longer the case that we can assume that a web development agency or a PR agency doesn't know anything about SEO. And so because of that, our influence started to shrink. What was the case back then where you could work with a senior decision maker inside an organization? Now we would be working with a more junior point of contact, a marketing manager or head of digital, whatever. And over the years, that trend has only continued, right? I think the SEO has become a more mature channel, right? Organic traffic is obviously, a huge a growth channel, and SEO is certainly not dead. There's nothing about that I'm trying to say. But our influence and our access to senior stakeholders has diminished. And so because of that, it has become even more important for us to understand and embed ourselves inside other teams and other disciplines, right? You see that with the entire link building industry and how digital PR and content marketing has kind of taken over. And those disciplines are that, people kind of train into them. There's a whole agencies around them. That used to be part of SEO. Now it's its own discipline, right? So SEO is kind of fragmenting across these other disciplines. And I think that as an SEO professional, you have a little bit of a choice to make, right? I don't think that it's not really enough anymore to just focus on SEO. I think you have to choose a little bit of what path you want to grow down, right? Do you want to go down the kind of growth and marketing path, right? And try and elevate into maybe like a VP of marketing role. Do you want to go into the kind of PR, content, and communication path? In which case, VP of comms, VP of PR is a kind of valid role. Or do you want to go down the technical path, in which case, you know, like a VP of product is kind of the end goal, right? Now, unfortunately, and I wrote about this in my SEO MBA newsletter, there isn't really a VP of SEO job, right? Like the only time you see a VP of SEO role really is at agencies, right? If you're at an SEO agency or a digital agency, then you might get the VP of SEO role. But in-house, inside an organization, it's very, very rare, almost vanishingly rare to get a VP of SEO role. And so there's this kind of ceiling, right? So if you really want to get a senior role and if you want to have a career, I think it's really important to try and choose a path and to try and take that path seriously. You know, and I've seen trends like SEO product managers being a kind of emergent role that I'm seeing more and more. So for example, a company like Etsy, you know, yes, they have people that are kind of dedicated SEO people, but they also have dedicated product teams working on SEO initiatives. And those dedicated product teams require an SEO product manager. And this is somebody who both has SEO skills, but also has formal product management skills. Right? Product management is a whole discipline and set of experience and skills that you can bring to bear. And so if you want to work somewhere like Etsy, you actually have to have some competence and background in product management, not just in SEO, right? If you want to go down that path. Now, the good news is, you go down that path, you become an SEO product manager, you're now formally part of the product management organization, and your path to becoming a VP of product is much clearer, right? If you stay inside the SEO role and you stay as a pure SEO, your path to a VP role is just very unclear, right? There isn't a good pathway for you staying directly within SEO. Same thing on the content side, right? Over the last few years, the New York Times in particular has started to hire for SEO editors, right? Yeah. So these are formal editors, right? Again, being an editor at the New York Times is not only very prestigious, but also comes with a very clear set of skills, experience, expertise, and so on. And they started hiring for SEO editors. So these are editors who also need an SEO background. Now, again, the good news about this is if you can get an SEO editor role, you are one step closer to being on the kind of editor track, right? You know, senior editor, managing editor, right, et cetera. And that's a clear career path that you can go into inside a media organization. So this is a very long answer to your question, but the big trend that I'm seeing for SEO careers is just that there's this fragmentation, right? And SEO as a single kind of discipline is increasingly not how organizations are, you know, thinking about SEO and not how SEO careers should be planned and kind of managed.
But that's also pretty challenging for if you start as an SEO right now. Because there are actually many opportunities, but where to choose from? Is there an advice you could give to SEOers how to choose?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, the good news is that the market right now is very much in favor of individuals.
True.
There is a ton of open SEO roles all over, and so I would encourage you to look for one. Diversity, right? So look for not just agency roles, but try and spend some time at agencies, try and spend some time in-house, maybe go out on your own, do some freelance work, you know, get a variety of kind of perspectives.
Yep.
I would encourage you to look at different industries. So try and work with a slightly different range of, you know, media sites, e-commerce sites, right? Wherever you kind of find your fit. And then, you know, specifically looking for opportunities where there's growth potential. And I think this is, you know, generally, I think good advice for people who are just starting out, who are more junior in their career, you basically want to optimize for an opportunity to get, you know, more exposure than your job status would give you, right? So, for example, when I was hiring for people in Distilled in New York, when I first moved here in 2011, I was, you know, getting the agency off the ground here in New York and hired, you know, a bunch of kind of, you know, relatively junior SEO folks. But immediately gave them client-facing opportunities, right? Yeah. So because it wasn't a big agency, you have to go in the deep end a little bit. But the value that you get off the back of that is you get exposure and access to opportunities, clients, situations, and experience that you wouldn't otherwise get at a big agency, right? It would be slower and harder for you to get that access. Same way, I think startups can often be good exposure in working in-house is because, again, very fast moving, you get a range of experience, you get access to situations that might be slightly above your, you know, formal job role. You know, obviously that comes with the trade-off of trying to find situations where you have good mentors. And this is obviously, you know, easier said than done, but, you know, choosing a situation where yes, you're going to get access kind of above your station, but there are also going to be clear people ahead of you that you can learn from, right?
Yeah, so, mentors.
Mentors, bosses, coaches, et cetera, trying to make sure that you have that support structure. You know, the good news is, now there are way more kind of groups and communities that you can join for some of that peer level kind of feedback and coaching than there ever used to be, right? The Women in Tech SEO group that Arij runs, Traffic Think Tank, the group, lots of these groups that exist now, which, there wasn't nearly as much of that back when I was starting out. So I think that the good news is there is a bit more support and a bit more of a community around you. But again, I think it's trying to seek those opportunities that will put you on this path. And then once you're mid-level and once you're more senior, it's again trying to think about what is the end goal, right? What are you really trying to drive towards, and trying to pick that path between, is it the product organization? Is it the marketing organization? Is it a media company? Like, where do you really kind of see yourself? Where your strengths lie? And trying to more formally integrate into those career paths and job roles, because that I think is the trend for the future.
Yeah, so you have to build experience in several fields, actually.
Yeah, I mean, at least just having exposure to it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the best technical SEO folks that I know are already doing product management, right? They're already familiar with working with a development team, raising tickets, managing a roadmap, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They already have all of the skills, but if they haven't done it formally inside the role of product manager, going from that leap from technical SEO to product manager is a hard jump, right? Because you have to convince a company to hire you without that kind of formalized, job role on your resume, and without that specific kind of set of expertise, right? So it's about kind of intentionally going, I'm going to go make that leap. I'm going to go get an SEO product manager job so that I can formally get that product management label, right? And once you get that label, once you kind of get that seal of approval, then you can kind of ladder up inside product orgs. But I think it's useful, I think, to be cognizant and aware of the kind of the difference between those different skills inside organizations. And again, SEO is a little bit unique in the sense that our background does span these different disciplines, right? So we have the freedom, in a sense, to choose, right? We have the freedom to kind of pick and choose which direction we want to go in. But that freedom can also be paralyzing, right? That freedom is also scary, right? Because it means that it's on us to choose.
Exactly,
it's not clear what the option is. And it can be hard to figure out where you want to go.
Yeah, exactly that. I think is challenging for the young people right now, because or even the mid people, because we're in a sweet spot with a lot of departments around us that we need for our success. So what you can have connect with them, collaborate with them, and from that point of view, grow in that direction as well. But there are so many directions to go to. How important in that sense is, in your opinion, to understanding the business for SEOers?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's crucially important. We talked a lot about this in the last episode we did around, working with the CEO and senior executives. I think the number one challenge for SEO professionals in my mind is not about knowing how to do SEO. It's about knowing how to get budget and buy-in for SEO projects, right? That is the number one frustration when you look at the industry surveys and so on. It's also, by the way, the number one frustration for executives, right? Is having an SEO team that can actually speak the language of business, can put a business plan together, can actually model out growth, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really important to, certainly as you get more senior inside your career, to really pay attention to not just the revenue metrics, right? So obviously looking at traffic and revenue is hopefully something that you do from the beginning of your career, but not just looking at the metrics, but trying to ask like a little bit more detail around how is that revenue generated? What other teams influence that revenue? Is there a sales team? What is the sales cycle? Beyond revenue, what is the margin that we're making? What is the funding of the organization? How are resource decisions made? When are resource decisions made? Again, I think a lot of junior folks, and I've certainly done this in my career, trying to make a pitch for expanded SEO resources, but you're doing it in June. And the company doesn't make year-end financial plans until December.
Yeah.
And so obviously you're not going to get $1 million to go invest in a thing, right? Like the yearly budget has already been set. And so again, that you have to have this recognition of it isn't just about the kind of black and white numbers and analytics, but it's about how does the business make decisions? What strategic framework do they use? What are their strategic priorities? What is the cadence? Who are the stakeholders? What do they care about? You know, all of those questions are important when it comes to getting budget and buy-in for the work that you want to do.
Yeah, so there's a lot of curiosity coming in there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly been a driving force in my own career is being curious.
I relate to that one and still. It's a great area we work in. A lot of things happening. But is there something you would say to our listeners, like how can you speed things? How can you, if you're super curious and you want to know all those margin things, business things, metrics, how can you, what's the best way to learn it? Is it through mentors? Is it through other supporting activities? Well, what do you think on that?
That's a good question. I mean, obviously I'm biased because I think the SEO MBA email and course are...
Exactly. they're
great ways to learn that. You know, I think that here's a question that I challenge anyone in the SEO industry to take a hard look at is just to look back at the number, the kind of recommendations and pitches and strategies that you've put together over the last, you know, 1 or 2 years, and just mark down how many of them actually got done. Like how many of them actually resulted in going live on the website or being implemented or getting budget, and take a long, hard look at that list and just be like, how do you increase your win rate, right? How do you make more of your recommendations actually see the light of day? And you know, in some senses, you don't need to ask any other questions, because if you just think about that question long enough and hard enough, and you look at that, look at everything you do through that lens, all of the other curiosity will emerge, right? Suddenly it's like, okay, yeah. Well, why did that pitch not work? Who was a stakeholder? Why did it not land? Why did they not invest in it, right? And when you're early in your career, you might not have all the answers, right? It's not obvious why a company didn't invest, or it's not obvious why you didn't get budget for a certain thing. But that's the language that I would use, right? If I was, if I was working at an agency or if I was working in-house, my kind of professional development path would focus on, you know, to my boss or to my manager, I would say, can you help me understand, you know, why this didn't go anywhere, right? What I made this recommendation, nothing happened. Can you help me understand why, right? And that's either a function of getting better at working with clients, getting better with working with senior stakeholders, you know, bringing more financial discipline to the proposal, whatever it might be. But that's kind of where I would start, I think.
Yeah. So also be very self-reflective on that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. What are things, what is your advice for young as yours not to do?
It's a hard question to answer. I don't know if I have any real kind of prescriptive, like, you know, I follow my own path and I've done my own things. You know, I think that I've gained a ton of value from going out on my own and working for myself, but I don't know if that's a path that I would necessarily encourage or mandate everyone else to follow. I don't know if I have a good answer to that question.
What do you think about, because you were on your own, but you also worked with your brother on with Distilled, of course. How do you see working at an agency for young people versus starting at a general company as you start as in the field?
Yeah, I think both can be really valuable. It depends on the company, it depends on the agency. You know, the advantage that you get working at an agency is that you get access to more senior stakeholders and you get access to a wider variety of projects, right? So you're able to kind of move faster, see more stuff more quickly. The disadvantage of working at an agency, certainly when you're more junior, is you get less visibility into how decisions are already made inside client organizations. You get less visibility into actually kind of managing the project itself. You make the recommendation, but then, you know, whether it's writing Jira tickets or putting a product plan together or whatever it might be, you get a little bit less experience of kind of being hands-on. So I think that, again, it's useful, I think, if you can, to spend some time at an agency and spend some time in-house. I think both of those things can be useful and valuable. The other thing I will say, if you work at an agency, is don't be satisfied with being handed clients and just focusing on clients, right? I think it's your responsibility working at an agency to also understand how the agency works, right? Like, what is the deal flow and pipeline and contract size and contract approach that the agency is taking to secure clients? Because in my experience, 9 times out of 10, the agency is not doing it particularly well, right? There's always something that can be improved. And once you understand the sales pipeline and the marketing pipeline and the contract and sales process, once you understand that stuff better, you'll be much more valuable to the agency, right? And so that becomes a kind of a nicely self-referential kind of win-win, right? It's like that's how you level up in your career. It isn't just by doing good work for clients, but it's actually being useful in the sales process, being useful in the contract process, being useful in renewing projects, right? It isn't just doing the work, but it's doing the work inside the agency, right? So again, it comes back to that curiosity that we talked about.
Exactly.
It's having a little bit of curiosity about how the agency actually works.
Yeah, that's a good one, Tom. Like not only, look at your own projects if you work at an agency, but also look at the agency itself and see how that works, how you can help improve the processes or even help to grow the agency.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Interesting. How do you make sure you keep on growing within the field? The field is changing. I think with the COVID years hopefully behind us, which I don't know, but
fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of things happened in our field, which is super interesting. A lot of opportunities. But how do you keep track and how do you keep growing within the field?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, again, I'm biased because the SEO MBA newsletter, of course, good solutions there, and I'm going to plug that one last time. But I think that we talked about this a little bit on the last podcast, right? This idea that when you're presenting to a senior executive, you don't want to take the position that you're the expert, so you know the answer, and so the CEO has to trust you, right? Yeah. That's actually a bad solution, bad situation to be in. What you want to do is you want to be the expert, and so you want to create, you want to bring the right case study and the right evidence that shows the CEO that this is the right answer, right? So they don't have to just trust you implicitly. Obviously, there's some trust involved, right? But they don't just want to trust you completely, but instead that they can actually see the evidence for themselves. And so one of the things that I would recommend is if you want to grow your career, if you want to level up, it isn't just enough to look at best practice. So it isn't just enough to look at how SEO works, quote unquote, but actually collect a series of evidence points, right? To actually find like case studies, real examples, real situations that show, hey, you know, I've been tracking this company for the last couple of years, and I saw that they just put this number of 100 pages of content live. When they did that, I saw an SEM rush that their traffic went from this to this, right? So you're finding that kind of causality, right? You're finding that evidence that the things that you want to tell companies to do, which is, you know, invest in the website, invest in content, invest in links, the things that you want to tell companies to do are valuable, right? And you want to find evidence of that, right? So it isn't just about the best practice of like, I know that links matter or I know that content matters, right? But it's more about, I want to have like a little library of case studies, of situations, of real examples, so that when I'm working with a company, I can show them that investing in SEO is going to work. Right, it's not about me telling them, but it's about showing them. And if you can do that, not only are you going to get good at the kind of technical discipline of SEO and the nuts and bolts, but you're also going to be a stronger communicator. You're going to be more likely to actually get budget and buy into your work, and ultimately will succeed.
Yeah. So the interesting part of this, you explaining that, is that one part is being, of course, curious what you do, but also track what you're doing and become visible to different kind of stakeholders. Express it, right?
Yeah, visibility is really important. The more senior you get, the more the visibility matters.
Yeah, yeah. I think also with the young people, how more visible they are, how more are they letting know what they don't know. That's also very interesting in my job. So then you know that they are curious because they say they don't know, then they show the curiosity and then you can help them with it. And so in that point, they are visible for you and you can support them and let them help them grow.
Absolutely.
This was super interesting as well, Tom. It was my last question, to be honest. We are at the end of this show. Are there any things you want to say to our listeners? Or do you think this is for this moment enough, because we will put, of course, the SEO MBA in the show notes.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. No, it's just been a pleasure being here. I hope it's been useful for folks. I really enjoyed the conversation, and thanks for having me. Thanks for having me back.
Super. I really appreciate it, Tom, and thanks a lot. And I hope to speak to you later this year again. See how SEO MBA runs, and maybe discuss other developments. Thanks again for our listeners. Thanks for listening to Tom Critchlow of SEO MBA, and all the. We put it in the show notes, which is relevant. And you can find us, of course, on Spotify and all the other podcast channels. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Bedankt voor het luisteren naar onze podcast. Je bent weer een stukje wijzer op het gebied van organische groei. Wil je de eerstvolgende aflevering niet missen? Abonneer je dan op ons kanaal, The Growth Room. Meer weten over Ook? Dan kun je terecht op www.okisnow.com.